Greetings to you, occupiers, the saints of the living God in the wilderness. Grace and peace be unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I suppose I'd like to start this message where we reside, or where we should be residing. The wilderness, whether figurative or literal, was always a place of refuge, of testing, emptying, and filling. And I needn't pile on the scriptures. They are there, and they mean what they say. Let's face it, if we were literally removed from a bustling city and society we were comfortable with, it would be a shock, at least to confront the silence and solitude. But we now do occupy the spiritual wilderness far from the world we once loved and served. In essence, we are the aliens. We serve not the world nor love the world. Its gods have no preeminence in our lives. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 11. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Is he talking to the priests, bearing the vessels of the Lord? Yeah. And who is the royal priesthood? Yeah. Once we heard the call of God to Jesus Christ by his Spirit, we were commanded to come out from among them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, 2 Corinthians 6:17. Quite a confirmation of Isaiah 52. Isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ and his apostles used so many quotes from the Old Testament, especially from Isaiah? Isn't it interesting that the Old Testament prophesied the events of Christ's coming and the Word himself and his apostles confirmed the fulfillment of the prophecies? Continuing, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who called you out of darkness? Continuing, verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Whether we live in our cities or suburbs, farms or homesteads, we are not a part of the world. We live in the wilderness of God, with our God, our refuge, hid in Christ, Colossians 3:3. Our lives are now Christ's. Who were we before our calling and separation as a priesthood before God? We were the world, wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revelation 3:17. We had goods and worldly prosperity. We had control and even domination. Doesn't matter whether we were big shots or not. We had control and domination over our little worlds. Sure we did. We ordered our lives. But these great things could never cloak our nakedness and wretchedness before God. Without the wedding garment given to the elect of God, we couldn't be received by the bridegroom. Thank the God of mercy that we can see this now. We were not even considered a people by God. And yet today, those calling themselves Christian or called of God boast of their faith and show no fruits of humility or of possessing any grave understanding as to just what our earthly stations are. The ungodly feed their tents, folks. The sinners feed their tents, folks. They do not feed their souls. And that leaves the righteous. What do we amount to? What did we amount to? Well, Isaiah tells us that surely the people is grass. James tells us that our tent life is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. James also says, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Do we make the mistake of not reading rich man deeply enough? Our riches are what we perceive them to be. If our riches are what make us rich by today's standards, so be it. But if our riches are just a simple brand new pickup in front of our humble little rental unit, then this still applies. You think about that. The Apostle Peter tells us, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. So Scripture has confirmed our place. But additionally, Isaiah tells us why we are this. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 7, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, the grass. All creation is subject to the Creator. But most importantly, Isaiah and Peter tell us this in order to show us who this helplessness and decay is really about. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Peter states in 1 Peter 1, verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And finally, Peter tells us, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. The word, the truth, life. Only the word of God endures. Everything else passes away. Jesus Christ, through Isaiah, Peter, and James, among others, tells us in the simplest of terms what we amount to apart from the mercy of God who called us into His light. It seems that our tents of grass are still too important to us, or that we care more for pleasing them than we should. The spiritual grass burns up also, folks. Yeah, tears. Only that which receives God's mercy will pass through the fire and live in glory with Christ. But I want to concentrate on the grass of our human conditions, our tents which we reside in, as we pass through this life and claim the infilling and abiding of the Father, Son, and His Spirit. We are the grass, the vapor, any way you cut it. And beneath the crippling weight of this humbling truth, the withering grass still finds time for pride. Here we go. The withering grass fashions idols. I think, therefore I am. The flower isn't content with glorifying its creator for its beauty. It falls in love with itself. The vapor wishes to hover longer, grow thicker, and cover more ground. Yeah. This human grass was destined to be burned up long before the creation of the world it loves so. Yet the grass will not be humbled by the truth of God. The grass wants its lawn to last forever. The grass desires to rule and dominate. It wants to leave a legacy. And it doesn't care that it will not endure as only the word of the Lord endures. All flesh is grass, saints. You are withering grass before the Lord God, and you profess to dictate your will to Him? This is humanism. This is the leaven of the world. This is still rebellion. This is a contagion which infects our churches and our fellowships and our own lives. Humanism. Another child born of pride, and the grass has become a god. We seek unto machines and guns and diplomacy. We seek unto wealth and comfort and safety. We seek unto the shelters of lies and strange doctrines which calm us. We seek unto teachers that give us what we want, not what we need. We seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God? If we are the people of God and still have an appetite for the things of this perishing world, then we have forsaken our God and we have opened our very beds to lesser gods. We sleep with the enemy. Harlots have we become. The grass is alive in death. We seek unto an empty tomb, but not unto the risen, living Christ. And Jesus Christ tells us in John 15, verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. When the branch is removed from the vine, it withers and dies and is burned up. Jesus Christ is speaking to his called out ones. Jesus Christ is speaking to his saints, not the world. Do not forget, many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 22:14. Who else but those grafted to the vine can suffer a cutting away, a withering, and the subsequent fire of God's wrath? Huh? Who else? The world? Jesus is talking to you, saints. And me. God, the Father of Jesus Christ, gave us a life in Jesus Christ, and we want our own versions of what we think we can squirrel away into it, too. Communion with darkness is about God's own children compromising with the world they are separated from. Separated from. Yeah. Shame is what some of you need. Deep, cold, damp, depressing, and humbling shame. Oh, I believe the scriptures. Yes, yes. I'm just dust. Withering grass. How wonderful a comparison. Blah, 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 blah. I think I'll profess it to the world. I think I'll profess it to my brethren. Well, you're liars! Would the admonition to repent fit in here? Liars! Who has bewitched you? Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no life. Apart from the merciful gift of the faith of Jesus Christ that God Almighty has bestowed upon a few, there is no hope for real life. Not now, not at the end. And we who have been given this gift of faith by the mercy of this great God still squirm and grumble and whine and shake our puny little clenching fists at him and tell him his life isn't enough. Pride. Pride. What in heaven's name goes before destruction? Proverbs 16:18. Pride. And what does pride breed? A haughty spirit. Then they fall. Then they fall. The root of every spiritual malady we suffer is pride. Pride is the faith killer. What we should be looking for is humility, which goes before honor. But no, the grass has a voice. The grass says, no, I will serve myself. Well, I'd rather listen to the grass withering wind instead. The filth of this virus of pride deceives us. It destroys our witness. It tears our garments to shreds. And without even a thought To a sound mind and a humbled spirit, we automatically tap into the root of pride, and by doing so, we spit into the face of Jesus Christ, just as the unbelieving heathen beasts of Rome did in Pilate's dungeon. Don't tell me we don't! I have eyes and I have ears, and what I see and what I hear is disconcerting, at the least. Some of us have eyes that haven't been clouded over by these humanistic horizons and visions of our own worth and purpose that we still hold up before us. Don't tell me we don't. Don't tell me that. I tell you, beware. Our bright horizons and great purposeful visions are of death. They're not of life. Vision? Skewed. Minds? Distracted. Souls? Near the flames. I'll repeat myself again. Are you ready? If your soul be required of you this night, this moment, either we accept wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, grass and vapor, or we do not. Whether we are Christ's or not, this is our lot, human kindred. Because we have entered into Christ and live by His Spirit does not negate our present human condition. Nor does it negate the consequences when we allow our flesh to be guided by vain desires of any kind. And it is this present human condition we must battle fiercely the rest of our lives, saints. You think I'm kidding? Go read your scripture. Better yet, get on your face and ask the Lord what He requires of you. He already told you. Reasonable service, saints. Reasonable service. Offer up your bodies as a living sacrifice, crucified. Crucify yourself. Count the cost again, if you have to. If I did not find myself thinking about reaching out to the vanity of the world or my own wisdom or my own strength from time to time, I would not have to remind myself at every turn that I am not acting like I'm glued to a vine that I claim to abide in. And so I will remind you as well. And don't tell yourselves that you have it all down pat, that you're secure. Don't even think about it. You are not secure in or of yourselves. And your salvation is conditional as well and not as secure as you would like to think it is. Remember shipwreck? Remember the sovereignty of God? We are told that storms will beat upon our houses. We are told that we will have tribulation. Well, what happened to vigilance? Don't you have a watchtower above your own spiritual houses, saints? And why aren't you watching and praying as commanded by Jesus Christ? No, somebody else is doing it for us. Yeah, I see. I'm going to digress here for a second. This isn't an apology by any stretch of the imagination, nor is it an excuse. But I want you to know something. Some of you may take this too personally, or become offended by my manner. Well, that's just the way it is, I guess. I want to tell you that I chose long ago, when it was offered me the task, I chose to talk to folks individually. I may be on the internet, USPS, but I'm going to talk to you personally. Whether I'm preaching to a fire engine, the dust and moths, and some empty chairs, I'm still preaching. And you're hearing it. So I'm talking to you personally. Now, I was told once by a pastor that I should not ever use the word you because it was too personal. and might upset the hearers. Can you believe this? He said that I should apply the word you only to the collective, not to the single person. Second person singular. A pastor told me to talk around people and not to upset them. You know, it's no wonder they got Buicks and they've got 401ks. And guys like me don't have two nickels to rub together. To the glory of God. I needed this pastor to test me. Well, I passed because talking around people is never going to happen with me, friends or enemies. Never. Now let's get back to the path here. Either we are a priesthood or we are not. We had better not be so smug and self-assured that we think we have a handle on our fight of faith and think we can slide a little. Don't mistake sloth for vigilance. I don't abide with anybody who claims and professes the cleansing power of the Holy Ghost and then turns around and acts like they never said a word. We're either a priesthood or we are not. And a lot of us shouldn't fall back on the work in progress excuse either. Mirror, mirror in your face, examine yourselves. Hebrews 5:14 states, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That doesn't mean 110 years old. Continuing, even those by whom reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Also to rightly divide the word of God that Paul speaks to Timothy. It is true that the work begun in you will be finished by the finisher of our faith. It is true that we drink the milk before we eat the meat. It is true. But how long does that take, saints? And I have heard excuses, literal excuses, and I've even given them myself about my certain position here in my walks. Well, I'm just a work in progress. Oh, my, no, you're not. I mean, when you have to start making that excuse to yourself, you know you should be moving on. There's your proof. Jesus Christ is the finisher of our faith. And wasn't the imparting of our faith at the beginning a finishing? Aren't the works of the Holy Spirit brought forth by the vine dresser? So why do we refuse to exercise our spiritual senses and be mature? It doesn't take a lot of work. Have some of us become or remained like the Corinthians to whom Paul wrote? In 1 Corinthians 3:2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet are ye able. You know, Paul was having a lot of trouble with the churches. Read his letters carefully. There were fires popping up left and right. There was deception. There was even delusion. There were people running around acting like kids. Are we a priesthood or are we not? Even a priest proselyte, a young one, knows his or her place. Even a servant trainee knows his or her own place. And they have got a yearning in their belly for meat. So many excuses. There is a curse upon the earth and its inhabitants are desolate. We live in this world and upon this earth. We should live as sojourners and visitors. No roots or ties to it. We should leave no signs of our passing, no refuse of the things of this world which we may have hidden under our tents at one time. Our folly, our skirts will be discovered in due time and we will suffer the consequences. And it's too late when we discover our shipwreck after we're on the rocks. Saints, set a watch for your souls. We cannot navigate the waters of this raging sea of life without Jesus Christ, who is the star we steer by. None of us lives to himself and no man dies to himself. Romans 14:7. We are not our own. And when you enter in at the straight gate, you have to leave everything, even yourself, behind. So what's with the baggage? For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We are withering grass and fading flowers, saints. We are a fragile, disappearing mist. This gospel, the word, is what endures and never fades away. Neither do the rewards of those who endure until the end. We covet this hope, saints. This is what we're given. Isn't it enough?